Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, let's go. You're rolling with J&J, 92.9 FM, ESPN. I want to start with I know a city that's hurting. That city's Philadelphia. Woo! It's a tough night. Tough night if you are a Philadelphia sports fan. Not only did your Phillies wilt under the pressure in the 11th inning, lose 2-1 to the Dodgers on an error. It was Orion Kirkering. Am I pronouncing that correctly, George? I thought so. That's going to live with him forever. Dodgers move on. I'm sure Phillies fans, probably maybe many of them, then turn the channel. And Cam Scataboo's running all through them.
Straight over to Amazon Prime Video. Their boy, Al.
Man, King George has got great voice. Every time I hear it, it feels like it might rival mine.
I would never go that far.
Now, usually I wouldn't introduce you before I introduce my brother, my partner, multimedia personality, both local and national. We're focusing a lot on the national now, but every day we give you local.
Every day we give you local. I'm here, man, and I'm humble. You know, it don't matter how you introduce me, first, last, middle, man, I'm good. You know what I'm saying? Humble King over here, humble and hungry, going to continue to give you everything I got.
That's like Jackson day. Dart.
Absolutely right. Absolutely. Just put me in the game, coach.
Giants killed Phillies fans, put the stake in them last night. Cubs, meanwhile, were winning. And, John, there's a Game 5 Saturday between Cubs and Brewers that I'll be locked into.
Too good.
There's
man.
Also, to wrap this little quick monologue up, there's a big one tonight I'll be locked into, and that is American football soul.
Absolutely major. This is like, we need like the Hulk Hogan music for this one.
Have Pernetti tune into this one.
Yeah. Oh, he's going
to listen. I want him listening to us about how big this game is.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, we're going to present this thing like it's a playoff matchup.
Hot steak dinner.
For real. I am so excited about this game. I truly am.
I am too. I'm not faking.
Now I also have a bet on it, but I would be excited about it even if I didn't have a bet on it.
Of course, you've got a bet on it.
I'll have you know I have not bet since Sunday.
Can you do over under since you're already jaded?
Yes, I can just give you my opinion. You may not agree with it, but I'll give you my opinion. I have
it's like
opinion.
You're like the guy that's going to call the game. Doesn't need to make a pick on this one when you've already made your bet.
No, kinda. I think it's,
you know,
a little, it's a little different.
It means it's a little weird.
I'm invested, so I have a real
All
position.
Right. Well, you do. Know? It is a real position.
So I will. I think I
know what your units looking like.
I think I've already talked about it. I've got my units in the place where everybody's happy. Where I, you know,
show it to me. Let's see if everybody's happy.
That's not you. Take me on
a date. Sam's happy.
Take me on a date first before I show you my unit, man. All right, you can't.
I know what your unit is. I used to see your slips.
That's right. I don't show.
You
the
don't
slips
show anymore. Them anymore. You are a vet now.
Well,
you don't send them things.
Now I use them for tax purposes because of the one big beautiful bill. I got to bet in certain places now.
This guy used to send me all the winners, George.
That's right. Maybe there aren't as many winners to send. That's what it is.
No, you're a vet now. You don't do that.
Yeah, you know, because it's like rubbing it in or karma.
It just feels
like
the person sending them is sort of acting like they're winning all the time because the person sending them never sends the losers.
That's what, you know, Goodman used to say that about me. Goodman used to always say, "I never see the losers." Same thing. You don't want to see them, do you? If you want to see them, I'll show you.
I wonder if George sends the losers.
George, do you bet?
Not really.
Yeah, George isn't. Okay. George isn't a better.
I knew there was something about that guy.
He's the first Italian person that's never bet ever in their entire
life.
Well,
he didn't say that. I don't know. Did he say never? He said not really.
He just kind of got. He gave me the sense that maybe he's dabbled, but he's not. You know, Italians are gamblers, man.
Well, that's really
Europeans generally are gamblers.
Can confirm.
My father-in-law, who's not Italian, he's Serbian. Like he's an insane gambler. Anyway, we'll do that a different day. We have so much to get to today. Yes, send this when we're done, George. Send this to the American press offices.
Sore.
They're going to be so excited that they're like, okay, we expected this in Tampa, maybe. Although I'm not even sure they're talking about this in Tampa. They're probably talking about the Bucks, right? I mean, that'd be my guess. And in Dallas / Denton, we know they're talking about the Cowboys.
Yeah, they think the Cowboys are good again.
Yeah. So we're actually about to give more coverage to this game than anybody in those markets. I truly believe that, which is amazing. But we're going to do it. So stay tuned for that. Anthony Sain's going to join us at 11:25. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies preseason, his thoughts on Cedric Howard, his thoughts on G.G. Jackson, his thoughts on Ty Jerome, KCP, some of the guys that we have seen, and more. And then at 1:25, Parthu Padhyay texted me today. And he took a little bit of an issue with our interview with Cal yesterday.
Uh-oh, I heard a little something from Drew, too. It sounds like those guys.
They're in cahoots?
Yeah, I wonder if it's about the same thing.
That we should have defended the media when
I don't know, Drew's was different. Thought Cal was leaving out, big part of
it. Yeah.
It's hard to ask everybody to come back together, be like the old days when you haven't had a Sweet 16 since he left part.
That's right. No, part's issue was that we didn't push back on Cal calling the media snakes. I mean, I can't really disagree with them as a member of the media.
Again, there, and we had joked around about his relationship with Jeff. But is he talking about Memphis media, which he kind of, let's be real, he kind of ran.
He did. He
or is he talking about Kentucky media?
Yeah.
Who he didn't like being friends with. So,
in the national media there.
We have not had the chance to walk back down memory lane like y'all know John loves to do our guests with Cal
He
left because of the circumstances. Because y'all ran him off when we were supposed to honor him when he was going to be in the Hall of Fame with the Hall of Fame announcement.
Absolutely.
Remember that?
Yep, I do.
And so,
Very well.
And so we were gonna do that one way or the other. And oh, by the way, this man's selling tickets to an event that's going to not just benefit St. Jude, but Memphis.
Exactly.
Right? And did it all day long. So
it just wasn't the right.
So come on, man.
It wasn't the right format.
If we get Cal on regularly, sure, we'd say, why you take those players?
That's right.
Why'd you do it?
But yeah, it was not the right format. Anyway, part of the party will join us at 1:25. Memphis basketball getting underway here.
Let's see him push back when he's sitting here.
Let's see him do that when he's sitting here. So
2-on-1.
That is the show today, but we have so much to get to. Let's do a little thing, George, that we call over-under.
All righty, guys. We've got a big one in the American this evening. Line right now, North Texas -1.5. What do we think? What do we feel on this one?
I want to start with a man who's invested.
First of all, I want to say one thing. I want to give you one sentence. Like the Turning Point USA Super Bowl halftime show. I am a real American. We ain't going to be doing none of that Bad Bunny stuff. All right? He doesn't speak English. I am a real American. Fight for the rights of every man, as long as they speak English. I am a real American. Is this ESPN tonight?
Are you ready to get canceled today?
Is this ESPN? What is the problem with what I said? I'm just reflecting.
It is on ESPN 2.
Oh, come on! Is that true?
Yeah.
We couldn't even get ESPN?
Nope.
For this game?
Mm-mm.
That seems insane.
What
else is on? Is there baseball?
Do we have a game 4 in WNBA?
We do have a game 4 WNBA finals. Aces lead 3-0.
Right, yeah, so my guess is that's it.
Going for the sweep on
is
the
that
e.
That could be ABC. Okay, it is
that's
ESPN.
ESPN.
Oh, y'all really trying
then
to,
I, then I
y'all
nailed,
really trying to get
then
me
I
canceled.
Nailed it.
Y'all really trying to get me canceled today. Okay. WNBA over college football, man.
Go ahead. You're walking right down that road. Go ahead.
I love the
Jason show.
I love the ladies. Okay, listen, we can't get ESPN. That's fine. First, I would start by saying North Texas is a great story. They looked like they were you know, the coach last year looked like he was sort of taking one step closer to being on his way out, right? And you know, the defense was a mess. It was just not it was not good at all. Eric Morris is the coach's name. Was that his son, by the way, Chandler Morris, that played for him? I don't think so. Maybe not. Anyway, at any rate, looked like he was on his way out. No question about that. Even though he'd only been there since 2023, he was not turning the right way. Now that he has one of the most improved defensive units, you know, year to year in college football. So first and foremost, got to say that because it was really bad last year. So it probably would not be difficult to be much improved. With that being said, man, I feel like South Florida's getting disrespected in this game. I do. I think they're getting disrespected. I think they're getting disrespected by being pegged as the underdogs. Why? The quarterback, Byron Brown, is going to be the best quarterback that North Texas has seen by a mean green mile. Okay? No question about that. The defense, going to be the best defense they have seen by a mean green mile.
Get them.
This is a South Florida team that beat a Florida team in Gainesville. That win looks better because Florida just beat Texas.
Bro, Florida got defense.
Florida got a real defense, and it was a grinded out game, right? It was a nasty game, but that goes to show you that South Florida can win in different ways. You know,
yes.
They can win 18-16, they can win, you know, 34-7. Like they did. They beat the hell out of Boise. They ended Boise's playoff hopes on game one, bro, and they were underdogs in that game. So I know it's at North Texas. I know that this is their first sellout ever. I know that they're super excited, like expectations and everything at an all time high. But this feels like the spot where your dreams get crushed if you're North Texas. That's just how it feels to me. The coach is a star. The coach is on his way to, you know, somewhere. I don't know where. But Golish is going to be getting a job somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
I just think South Florida is realer than North Texas is the way I would put it. And I know they have that loss to Miami. I don't really care about that because I think Miami is probably, like, one of the two or three best teams in the country. So give me, and that was like on the tail end of a stretch where they were playing Boise, Florida, then you get Miami. So that was going to happen. Give me South Florida straight up, dog. And they keep the game day hopes alive. They help Memphis's path to the, American Championship game.
Yeah.
And, they come in here ranked, which would indeed, I think, be game day.
Yeah. I ain't going against that. We know we want game. Excuse me. We know we want game day. You need South Florida to win with that. So we know what our rooting interest is. We've said where the Tigers, where their fans should be on this. But there's every reason to believe John doesn't leave much meat on the bone. There's every bit reason to believe that this South Florida team is that team. You know, I'm worried about that game against Memphis. To be honest, here, you know, that's the one.
Yep.
Before that, though, you've got to take care of business and. Here's the thing, like that Florida defense you talked about is top 20 in the country. I think they're 18th at SP Plus. Like you said it, South Florida can, you know, they're a more physical football team than your average American football team. We've seen it stand up even in that Miami game at points. And so,
yep.
What they've done, I'm with you. They've still been underestimated. They never should have fallen out of the top 25 in the first place after they'd picked up those two wins.
Yep.
And we see now, you know, they're putting them back in because Florida has been better. All that said, I think they rise in a way that, you know, we've expected them to. I've watched them all year long. I think this defense is better than the 61st spot they've got over at SP Plus because of who they've played. I think it's a better defense than that. And, yeah, if they've got Brown on the field, they're dangerous. And I think they put up the points, and I think they make – I'm with you. I think they make a – North Texas offense has been fantastic. They're 16th in the country at SP Plus. I think they make it look pedestrian.
Yeah. You know, listen, North Texas has been great and they've been transformed, but their quarterback's a freshman.
Mm-hmm.
Their starting running back is now a freshman.
Well, that's a real defense on the other side. Again, I'm shocked by how low South Florida is ranked defensively.
Yep.
At SP Plus. That said, again, you have to factor in who they've played.
Yes.
I think North Texas will find that out, that it's a much better defense than 61st.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking about a senior quarterback coming in here who's healthy, who's a true dynamic run threat. I mean, we talk about Memphis all the time, you know, and that's been the difference.
They want, you know, they're looking ahead, too. I mean, just in the way
that's
of,
true.
You know, I know it wouldn't be, that you know, in Tampa, but a game day shot for them is a shot to show the rest of the country, hey. You know, y'all been talking about Memphis as the pick. We're the ones.
Yep.
And so, believe me, they're as up for that one, I'm sure, as we are. And so, yeah, you know what Golish is preaching. Not, you know, not going in here and underestimating this North Texas team. And how can you when they've got an offense that's done what it's done? There's not going to be and the record, you know, at 5-0. So they're going to get South Florida's best shot. Hopefully, yeah. It's going to set up well for you know, for the future with these two teams meeting a couple.
Well,
weeks.
We're in agreement that South Florida gets it done. Let's hope they get it done. It's just so much cleaner and easier and tidier for Memphis if they do. Just obviously, it will make beating South Florida harder because they will be a real, like an extremely real football team. But you want to have control of your path. And if North Texas wins tonight, you just fundamentally have less control. You know, I mean, I guess you could, you know, you could argue that you still do if you beat South Florida. You beat
That's
Tulane,
what I was going to say. You put a death nail maybe in South Florida. That'd be a second loss for them. Saying you're beating them here.
But, you know, that's going to be tough
to get them
to
out
do,
of the race.
Right.
That's the one thing, about rooting for South Florida.
Yeah.
You know, they take this ill and then they lose to you here. Right. Well, that's two losses. That's probably going to be too many.
They're out. Yeah. Almost.
I mean, you would assume so.
Yes.
And so it would kill a very good team.
Right. Right.
But one way or the other, you're going to have to beat them.
You are.
You may as well do it on game day.
And you might as well do it when they're ranked.
Right. Let's have them win tonight.
Yep. So, I mean, Memphis doesn't lose at home, so I'll take my chances.
Oh.
But I need South Florida to get here unscathed in the American.
I'm with you.
So, we both like the Bulls. Bulls up. Bulls Nation.
I think the Bulls are a better team. This ain't just rooting, you know.
Yep. Yep. Let's go. Let's get it.
We've got one here on America's favorite bowling ball. Years left on Giants running back Cam Scadaboo's NFL career set at 2.5.
Mm. That's really a compliment to the way he runs football. It's physical. Did you see what he did to Zach Bond?
Ooh.
That's going to be one that'll never go away.
Postered. Yes.
Bond's kids and grandkids will see that on NFL highlight reels for years to come. And that's the kind of thing that it's like a Derrick Henry run you over. And that's what he does. He's kind of like the defender. He wants to hit the defensive player, you know, in this case, like the defender would want to hit the offensive player. Three touchdowns. He's phenomenal. Giants' effort was phenomenal. Did you see Jackson Dart high-five the ref? They're juice right now. Did you see after the game when Ryan Fitzpatrick and Scadaboo are bumping chests? It's crazy. Almost made me want to be a Giants fan. I wondered if Jeffrey Wright was pulling his shirt off at the same time watching that.
Yeah.
If I was a Giants fan, I'd want to. Did you see that?
Yeah, no.
It was a viral moment Fitzpatrick did. Scadaboo's just that's the kind of dude he is.
Yep.
Now, that said, here's the point. You ain't long for this NFL world running like that.
No doubt.
How many concussions has he already sustained in life running like that?
I would have to believe a ton.
And so that's the thing. And the more he continues to embarrass defenders, here's the other thing about it, the NFL. It adjusts. It watches that, and it says, you know what, we're going to take that guy out. The more of a target he becomes. And so I'm rooting for him. I think this is great for the Giants. And maybe what they've done, Jackson Dart really saved Dable, Joe Shane.
We talked
about the Save Our Jobs card. Yep. That was the last thing they had, and it's been played well now. That loss to New Orleans is a little shaky. They come back, get that win over to Philadelphia. Boy, they're looking pretty good right now. You see the way Dable was all over Jackson. He was hugging him because you're saving me. You're saving me. But back to Scadaboo, you can't run like that long in the NFL. So I'm going to go, what's the number, 2.5 more years?
Yeah.
That's going to include the rest of this year?
Yeah.
I'm going to go under.
Jeez.
I'm going to go under.
I mean, I got to go over because I needed to go over. I mean, he is hilarious to watch.
He's going
to
get injured, I'm afraid.
The Saints linebacker called him like a bad little kid. He said he's like that bad little kid that, you know, is throwing a tantrum.
But the kid is thick.
He is.
And so to go control him, it's going to be quite a bit of work.
Yes, it is. It's a sight to behold. There's no doubt about it. He's outperforming Ashton Jeanty, for example. I mean, I can't believe that that's true, but it is. And it's not like that's some amazing offensive line either. I don't know what's going on, to be honest with you, in the Raiders situation. But it's been quite the sight to see this guy come on the scene and continue basically what he's doing at Arizona State. I mean, he will eventually, you know, get hurt.
Yeah, either way, the point is it's going to be on the shorter side.
Yeah,
if he doesn't,
I agree with that.
Doesn't adjust. I know he likes running like that. That's been his life. If you don't see NFL running backs who aren't built like Derrick Henry
mm-hmm.
being
mm-hmm.
able to pull that off for their careers.
That's right.
You know, typically you see them eventually get to a point where they're running out of bounds because right. You want to save those hits up.
Who is like the closest that we've seen to a guy like this in recent memory?
Again, D. Henry is the one that stiff arms,
right.
But it's a dude who looks like he will do it. I mean, I know Scattaboo's thick, but
yeah.
You know, he's shorter, everything else.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, you haven't seen many that run with the violence
yep.
that he does.
Yeah. He's like Mike Allstott. Remember him?
Yeah. You'd have to go, because you're going fullback with that.
That's right.
I mean, Mike was a big old fullback. And, I mean, I guess Cam's fullback, but runs like a halfback.
Right. Right.
Once he's in that open field.
No, it's fun to watch, man. It
I mean, technically, he's the definition of a fullback.
Exactly.
But how many times you see Cam Scattaboo out there blocking for anybody? That's not.
Yeah.
He's
a running back.
He's a running back, bro.
But he just has the build of Mike Allstott, you know, like, and he kind of runs. He doesn't really outrun you. He just runs through you.
Dude, I couldn't believe how built Fitzpatrick was.
Yeah, I know. He's still in pretty good shape.
I don't know if he's flexing or what.
Yeah.
This dude's back muscles were coming out.
Yeah.
That man, if I'm a Giants fan, I'm loving that. And this dude, Scattaboo, they were going nuts.
They were going absolutely
they got,
nuts.
They got some juice now, some young juice.
Dart and Scattaboo, there's no doubt. The creatine Caucasians.
It was fun to watch.
And they are something. All right, let's take a break. Let's come back with Anthony Sain. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies preseason, what he thinks of, you know, the performances of Cedric Howard, Gigi Jackson, and more. Jason and John, how do you turn to family ESPN?
Hopefully.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll be joined momentarily here by the great Anthony Sain. Grizzlies back at it tomorrow night, third preseason game. Right now it's 0-2. And John and I, to be real honest with you, it sounded like Drew Hill did too. We've had a hard time sort of pulling anything out of this so far, right? This 0-2 start, certainly game two, you didn't have anybody out there when you took out KCP, Ty Jerome. And John and I actually thought that was certainly, as it related to KCP, the right decision. Jock Landale also sat out in that game. Didn't get a chance to see him. We now are joined by the man that hosts the Anthony Sain Show on Bluff City Media. New episodes airing live every afternoon. He's the underground king of Memphis sports media, the tribal chief of Grizz Twitter, independent journalist, and founder of Asylum Media Group, father of five-star 2032 multi-sport prospect Gabriel Sain. Follow him on X at Sain Asylum. Sain, there's many a return I want to ask you about, hopefully returns, for Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr., and all the guys. There's one return I must ask you about first, a return I'm hoping is happening soon, the return of your son, Gabe, from his wrist injury. Will he be ready for the sixth grade playoffs?
Yeah, man. I did get information yesterday that Gabe will be able to play the final game of the season. I don't think they have playoffs
okay.
For fifth, sixth grade ball, but he's just happy to get out there and play that final game, man.
Man, that's what's up. That's what's up.
Yeah, we're excited. We're excited over here in the Sain household.
No, main thing is that he's healing. That's what I was most praying for. Sain, tell me, I don't know if you heard a little bit of what I was saying before we got you in here. Mm-hmm. John and I, all of us, have had a hard time learning anything, like trying to anything that we can hold on to and say, you know what, this looks good. Jalen Wells has. That's one thing. But in terms of, you know, Isolo implementing the system, anything else, I'm curious, can you help us? Are there things that you've been encouraged by so far in this 0-2 start for the Grizz?
Yeah, so, like, it's really hard to explain what we've seen these first two preseason games because we really haven't seen much of anything that resembles what it could possibly look like on, you know,
right.
Opening night. You've already out. You got Edie, Jaren, Ja, they're not playing. Two of those three guys, I suspect, will be playing on opening night. But you can't really see what this team is without those two guys without John and Jaren, right? Because the things they're doing, you're doing it with lesser versions of those guys out there on the court. And you get to see some individual things. Like you've seen Jalen Wells, things he's added to his game. And you see that Jock Landale looks like a guy that probably could be part of your 10-man rotation once you get Zach Edey back. But you really can't really see really how much works, like on either side of the ball, outside of the first quarter of the first game and the third quarter of the first game when you did have the quasi-starters out there. And they looked very good against that Detroit team in those two quarters. But last game, definitely, you couldn't see anything because not only did you have those three guys plus Brandon Clark, you also had no Ty Jerome, no Jock Landale, no KCP. You know, so you really just had a bunch of guys who are, you know, guys who are in your eighth, ninth, 10th man for the most part out there playing just, you know, useless basketball. So it's been pretty frustrating. Hoping in tomorrow's game, especially in that last home preseason game, that we can get something that resembles more what the finished product might look like. I know that typically teams do kind of rev things up for maybe the last two, but I hope that we can make some exceptions and kind of do something that resembles more like actual basketball than what we've seen the last, for the most part, for the last two games.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt from a structural standpoint, there's just really nothing at all to glean from that second game. Mm-hmm. I think it's just more about, like, who is taking steps, right? Who is showing improvement? Who is looking like they're going to be a part of this rotation? And that leads me to Gigi Jackson, who it feels like is stagnating with this organization. You know, does it look like Gigi Jackson is somebody who's ready to be a part of a playoff rotation to you?
Oh, right now, no. Gigi's my guy, man. Y'all know I ride for Gigi big time. I think he's got a lot of potential still with this team. Even if he was looking good, it would have been pretty questionable about how he would have fit in, you know, into a 10-man. You figure that your wing spots are going to go to KCP, Wells, Cedric Howard, and your other guard, you're going to play either Ty Jerome or Scottie Pippen Jr. at that other off guard, which is basically just a positional thing, a defensive matchup thing. But you kind of figure wondering how Gigi was going to fit into that equation anyway. Then your bigs, you're going to have Jaren, Santi Aldama, Jock Landale, Zach Edey. You're pretty much four deep there. You don't really know what you're doing with Gigi as far as that goes anyway. So even if he wasn't looking as non-promising as he's looking, it still was going to be a question mark. And the fact that he just still doesn't look comfortable in his offense is still the question. But I think you still have to give him benefit of the doubt. You have to see what he looks like with Jock on the court. If he's going to be a guy who you're using his strengths of athleticism, getting down court, playing above the rim, all those type of things. Gigi's the type of guy, if he's playing with Jock, you have to see how he looks with that before you pretty much write him off. That's the only thing I do to give him that does give him like a gleam of hope. It's kind of frustrating though, man, because Gigi's one of those guys who is just all in his head, man. And I was a person who I didn't get as excited about a lot of stuff that Gigi was saying this offseason because it's just too much talking and too much thinking and not enough just playing basketball. Too much reflecting on, you know, mistakes he made last year. And I'm not trying to sound like anything, but a lot of stuff that Gigi does, a lot of the spiritual things that he says are kind of eye-rolling me. It's like, bro, you just go play basketball, bro. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems like he's trying too hard to be being caught between two people instead of just being himself and going out there and having fun playing basketball. Interesting. And I think that's just not a successful formula for someone who you think that you would like to be a big part of what they're doing this year.
Yeah, I mean, you look at his contract, right? He has a team option after this season with the deadline of June 29th. And while, like, the money is just, like, trivial, basically, right? Like, he's making, you know, $2.4 million, even if they exercise the team option, which I would expect them to do just based on the financials. But it's like, what's the point? It's kind of would be, I mean, like, yeah, it's not going to cost you anything, but it's like, if he's not a part of this and he hasn't established himself as part of this, what would give you the idea that by some miracle next year he would become a part of this?
So, well, he's still 6'9" and 20 years old, so there's no need to send him on fire. I mean,
No. I agree. It's really more of like the team and just like where he's at with. So it's like, to me, he's like a prime trade candidate, like somebody that you would put in a deal at the deadline if that presents itself.
Yeah, if something like that permits, yeah. But it's like you're not going to get a one-for-one trade for him. So, you know, putting him in some imaginary package I mean, I guess we can talk about it if you want, but I don't really get. It's just is if he's a guy that's not in your 10-man rotation, he's just another guy on your roster. It is like you just kind of figure out what you do from there. I mean, he's still super young. It's disappointing to me that he's not finding a way to play a role. And most guys who are struggling in the NBA is because they were good players as a lead player on their team. Now when they go to the NBA and they're asked to play a role, they struggle with it. And it's kind of frustrating to see that GG's not able to catch on to be that type of guy. Because we see what he can do when he's being asked to just go out there and get the ball and do whatever. We know he's a guy that can put up, that can be a double-digit scorer in the NBA. But it is frustrating to see him the way he is. That doesn't particularly mean – in our fan base, we do a lot of, well, just get rid of him. Like, those type of things are a lot easier said than done. So I don't – you just kind of keep him around and see what he turns into. And you got to protect the asset because he's still super young. I mean, you still if GG is a prime example of a guy who could get he may develop super late in his career, and you can see him prosper somewhere else. So there's no need to just get rid of him. Just kind of hang around and just see what he does.
What have you thought of what we've seen from Cedric Howard? I know we're still waiting on a three, mm-hmm. but I Drew touched on this yesterday. We talked about it with him. I'm curious what you think and what your eyes are seeing. We saw him get more aggressive in that second half, which I think was a good sign for someone who's clearly, hopefully going to be, a little bit further along. You and I have talked about this, right? If the slow starts are there for Coward, which, game one, you could certainly qualify as that he's going to be a guy that understands, look, it might take a little while. Let me get my feet underneath. What have you made so far of sort of these first steps for Cedric Coward?
I've seen a lot worse rookies here than him. You know what I mean?
They were drafted
around his draft range. I think he's got a really good feel for basketball and a good basketball IQ. We all had our fun with the Michael Jordan stuff and the hype going into game one and all those type of things. But I think anybody who, was being honest with you expected him to look kind of like what we see, a guy who hadn't played basketball in a year. It's like you start off playing, lower level college basketball, then you play next year you're playing eight games of D1, I think he played, at Washington State or whatever. And then you take an injury, and the next time you play basketball against anybody with a referee is against the Detroit Pistons, He's had a really, really wild 12 months, for him. So he looks pretty much like a guy who's still trying to find his way. But I like a lot of things that he does, especially on the defensive end. He seems to be really comfortable out there. And we saw him check the Jaylen Browns of the world. We saw him check the Cade Cunninghams, and he looked pretty good doing it. I think if he can find a way to stay on the court that way, the offensive side of his game is going to find his way. And he's not making his shots, but he's playing pretty aggressive, playing pretty smart basketball. And I think, again, he's another guy you're going to have to get him out there with Ja Morant and let Ja kind of spoon-feed him a little bit and get him going and make things easy for him. But I like a lot of what I see with him. I'm excited about what he can be. If he's another guy that can stay on the court defensively, like I said, I think he's skilled enough for the offensive side to catch up.
Yeah, like, I think that's – I've made this point before, but I'm just going to bring it up to you because, like, I guess the explanation is he could be anything. The Grizzlies think he could be anything. He could be a superstar. He could be a 3-and-D guy. He could be this. He could be that. Like, what, in your view, is the most – like, the highest probability – of what Cedric Howard's role is with the Memphis Grizzlies, not today, but like 3, 4, 5 years down the line?
Oh, I have no clue. And I don't make enough money to scout these guys like that and project what they could be. But right now, I just need him to be a guy that can play defense and, knock down shots. That's something that the NBA has, those guys are hard to find. And we've tried to trade a lot of assets over the last 6 years to get one of those guys, whether you're talking about OG Anunoby, or you're talking about a Mikal Bridges, those type of guys who are those high-level defenders, those long-rangey defenders like that who can do those type of things, guys who can do that and that only and knock down shots, those guys are at a premium. And if you drafted one of those guys, I think you got enough. What he could be outside of that, I don't know, don't really care. But if he's a guy who if he's a guy, like I said, that can stay on the court defensively, and can come in and knock down shots for you as well. Get to the line, make free throws, play efficient, keep the ball moving. That's definitely not something you can look down on. Like, I think that if that's all he is, it's a win for sure.
I was almost not surprised, but to hear Michael Wallace, who you know well over Grind City Media, say that he thinks they need to make a move right now in the front court. I'm just curious, saying, what do you think in terms of just being able to rebound, right? In this time that Zach, let's assume Jaren and Ja are going to be back, but focusing on the front court, in this time that Zach Edey and Brandon Clark are going to be gone, how concerned are you about them having enough to be a decent enough rebounding team that you give yourself a chance in these games? I mean, we saw it in that first game, it get pretty lopsided. Do they have enough, or do they need to make a move and go get somebody for the front court? They're full right now. They would have to, make a move. What do you think?
Yeah, I heard Mike saying that. He was pretty, emphatic about it as well. I'm not really there with that. I mean, it's October, man. Like,
I get it.
We're gonna be playing basketball in May. You know what I mean? So it's like, there are not many moves like that you can make that make like real world sense. Like, can you go out and trade for a big man? Sure, but chemistry wise and like attitude wise, what do you do with that guy when guys come back? Like, you know what I mean? Like, could you go get maybe a Nick Richards on a small deal? Sure. Like, and he might be a guy that when things get back to normal, he just kind of fades away. He's a guy that could be your backup center or whatever, and he's a low-maintenance guy. But it's not many moves out there like that. And it's like, Jaren's playing game one. That hadn't been announced by the team.
Sure.
I don't think Jaren's going to miss a game. He's going to be here game one. You're going to be without Edey for maybe a few weeks, man. He'll be back sometime in November. You got a whole season to play with. Like, that's not a desperation. You're not a desperation type situation in November, bro. Like, I get what Mike's saying, like, but it's not, it's like we start out this conversation today. We don't really know what we are, bro. Cause we the guys that we got, we didn't play those dudes at all in game two. You know what I mean? So I think that they'll just get through it, man. Just get through the games. And like, I think it's a lot of much to do about nothing with this team. Bro, I saw this Grizzlies team look horrible without Ja Morant for 25 games a few years ago. And I saw them like playing really good basketball Bismack Biyombo was our big and they look really good when Ja Morant came back, bro. Like, they'll get through it, bro. Like it's gonna look rough. They're gonna be times you're gonna be without your bigs, you'll need your bigs. These guys are pros, man. They'll find a way to get through it. And we've got our two best players are two really good players, and I think they're going to carry us to a lot of wins this year.
Yeah, I really do. I mean, if Jaren is back game one as you forecast, like it'll be fine, right? I truly think like they can manage it. It's just like
if he ain't back game one, they'll be fine too, bro. Like it's October, bro. Like we're going to be playing basketball in May. Like it's a very long season, and every year I've seen the Grizzlies going a very long stretch of wins. Where they're winning a whole lot and they're not losing many at all. And they end up being second in the West, regardless of how the season started, regardless of how everybody else is playing. I've seen this team go on very long stretches of being very good. And if anything, our two best players are getting better. They're not getting worse. So I don't expect anything different.
Well,
John, you ain't being positive, bro. I see you on Twitter, bro. You got a whole Twitter account. You don't be positive, bro. But I'm with you.
I mean, I think it's possibly more perilous.
You and already buried Cedric Coward, man. I just see you.
That's not fair. I just said nobody should have compared him to Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant.
And nobody did, man. Like,
they did.
Come on, bro.
Somebody did.
Come on, man. You can't pay that dude attention. Come on, man. We're talking about real conversation. You'd already buried the man. Bro.
No, like that's not – but that did happen, though. There was a dude out there that, and it caught traction.
And he's part of the Cedric Coward's team. Like, we get it. Like, we know that – I mean, this is Coach Thorpe. He says wild stuff all the time.
Right.
But nobody with a brain thinks that dude's Michael Jordan, bro. Like, come on.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. A normal, reasonable human being would not have done that.
Yeah.
But I do think it's unfair to the kid because there are people out there who read that, and because it got repeated by Henry Abbott of True Hoop, who does have a following of people, and it's like it becomes part of it. I'm not saying that the most logical people would say that. I haven't buried him. I'm just saying like I don't know what he's supposed to be. You know, I don't know if what the role is supposed to be. Is it supposed to be a 3-and-D guy? Is he supposed to be a leading scorer? I think one of those paths is much more viable than the other.
Yeah. I mean, I'm rolling my eyes at people who I see talking like that dude's not going to be in the top 10. I'm like, bro, we played Zaire Williams. Like, you think that dude's not going to play? Like, that dude's playing, bro. And he's going to be really good. He's going to be really good this season. You're going to see flashes of it. It might take a while because it's going to take a while for him to get into basketball shape, especially when you're playing against pros. But he's better than a lot of rookies that we've gained a lot longer leash to. That kid's going to play. Jake LaRavia played.
Probably at the expense of Gigi, to your point, Saint.
Yeah, he's going to play, bro. Like, that dude is going to play. And they're going to set him up for as much success as they can. But here's the thing, too, man. Let's say that this thing, like, totally falls off the rails, which it could. I don't think it will. I think we're going to be really good this year. I think we'll be top four, top six in the league, in the West this year. I don't think we're going to be bad at all. But in the case that this thing falls off the rails, which it very well could, give me my two top ten picks and I'll be okay, bro. I'm not going to cry. I'm not going to cry about this.
For sure.
Because we're going to get one from Phoenix. That Phoenix team is about to be terrible.
I think this is a key part of the conversation. They don't have to stink. I mean, but the win total now is at 39.5. And saying, I know you're super high.
That's crazy. For us or them?
It's dropped from Memphis to 39.5.
That's crazy.
It's at 39.5 right now. I looked at it this morning on FanDuel. So we see what Vegas thinks and everything else. And again, I know you're high on them, and I'm going to call you the prophet if they, you know, finish up with 46, 47, 48 wins. But to focus on the other side real quick, and especially as it relates to Coward, like, you could have two lottery picks next season, and you could find, if that Phoenix pick gets up to two and it's AJ Diamonsta, then put that back on Coward. Nobody's asking Coward to go out there and be Michael Jordan. All of a sudden, Coward's, here's what he's like one of them OKC dudes who they have so many of, and then all of a sudden he's fitting you perfectly, and you spend an 11 pick on him, and you got a new big three because you got AJ Diamonsta. Now, that's one scenario, but that's my point. Things could change very quickly. Based on what you get next year. And so that's why I'm saying folks should just sort of sit back. And I'm eager to see it, man, because here's the thing. If Ja Morant has the best season of his career, like he's hoping and expecting to have, man, you know, us knowing that he makes players better, seeing what he can do with this team, I'm excited to see. But if it does flop, like you said, saying there could be something very good for you very quickly in terms of reforming this team around him. Yes.
So, like I said, I ain't tripping either way. I think we're going to be good, though. I don't think that's a reality.
I know you have.
I think you're going to be a good team, and you're going to get Phoenix's pick this year, which is going to, you know, people going to be like, oh, crap, look what the Grizzlies just did this summer. They were already a playoff team, and now they got, you know, top five, top six pick from Phoenix. Because Phoenix is going to be terrible, bro. You're not going to be good in the NBA without a point guard. You have to have a point guard in today's NBA. That team's going to be horrible.
I think they've taken the soul out of Devin Booker. I don't think he's going to become Bradley Beal. I've joked about it, but I don't think Devin Booker's
soul is just in the man cave.
I mean, mine would be too if this organization had blown it around me at one point. I mean, you know, at one point I'm making deep runs in my career.
Give me Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green.
I'd be just like, give me my money now.
That is diabolical.
That's what I'm talking about. So he ain't going to play looking, you know, make some deep run. I'm with you saying that pick is so valuable, you know.
Yeah,
that man went from the finals 4 years ago to playing with Dylan Brooks and Jalen Green.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to tell people, man. Like, yeah, you can do these things and go get these superstar players. That Phoenix team was ready to compete and be really good for a long time, man. Because that team was built the way that, you know, championship teams are built. They just needed a better point guard. You know what I mean? They needed somebody after Chris Paul. They didn't have to go get Bradley Beal and go get KD, and they went and did all that. Gutted all the role players, and now look at them, man. They look at them. I mean, that team's gonna be trash, like, for real.
Let me ask you this: Kevin Durant. Now, this was his fault. He picked the wrong dudes in Brooklyn to try to do it with. Then he gets to Phoenix, and that was a bad core from the get go. What they tried to do is try to make a splash, and that wasn't a real big three. But here's the thing: they had nothing around them, and so I've heard some say, "Well, Kevin Durant gonna get to Houston, he's gonna mess that up too." I mean, we kind of went through the two scenarios. Do you think with what Houston already has, right, it's different than the other two situations in a way to me, but I'm curious what you think. Do you think Houston with what it already has, I know they've lost Van Fleet, and that is a big loss, but do you think KD's really going to go into Houston and mess it up, or is that going to be a team that's number two or number three in the West by the time it's said and done?
I don't think that team is going to be top four in the West. I think they're going to be good. I think they'll be a really good team. They were good last year. But, man, chemistry matters. And losing certain guys sometimes can hurt a team depending on how they're built. Fred VanVleet and Dylan Brooks were a big part of what their team was last year.
Very true.
Like, their culture, their attitude, you know what I mean? Those two guys provided a lot. Now you're bringing a guy who's not a leader in with guys who need to be led, and both of their leaders from last year are gone. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying they're going to be bad. I think they'll be good. But I think we'll be better than Houston this year, just being for real. They don't have a point guard, bro. Like, that matters, bro. Show me a team. Show me a team that don't have a point guard that's good. Like, they don't work like that. Like, you You just can't like say, hey, Devin Booker, go run the offense. No, I mean, Devin Booker is a hell of a player, but he's not the guy that can set up everybody and get his own points and, you know, lead a team to victory. Like, this is not – you just can't always do that. He's not built that way. And then he's got, you know, Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks on the team who are guys who – in that Houston situation, Dylan Brooks was a big part of what made them good. He was a great leader for that team. Him and Fred VanVleet together were two great, you know, yin and yang type guys to help lead that team. That purpose is going to be different in Phoenix, and that team's going to struggle for real.
Saying, let's, you know, you and I don't know that we've ever made a bet.
Yeah.
Would you like to bet me that the Grizzlies are going to be better than Houston, and I'll wear your Shedeur Sanders number 3 jersey? And I say number 3 because he's – I know 12 is his number, but he's the number 3 quarterback on the roster, saying, I'm messing with you a little.
They got another quarterback out there?
They might bring up their guy Bailey Zeppi.
Yeah.
Your man – I was with you, saying, I thought we all – America assumed he was going to bump Shedeur because that's what a good organization –
Hey, they keep playing with my boy, man.
And they're keeping the man at 3. They're just playing with him. Stefanski's playing with him, back to the point. And again, we can come up with – and it would – is there anything we can put on the line? You come to my church, I go to you, whatever it is. I just want to invest in that with you. Again, I don't want to pull for Houston, but saying I'm afraid you're underestimating the Rockets.
Y'all underestimating the Grizzlies, bro. We were a 48 win team in the most turmoil filled season ever last year, bro. All the crap that was going on the court and off the court. Coaches mad at each other, GMs mad at the coaches, all this stuff going on.
That's true.
Injuries, all that. If them guys are healthy, they're going to be good this year, bro. I'm telling you. We can have a friendly bet. You my brother, man. You can do what you want to do. It's all good.
Breakfast at what's your spot? Sunrise?
Wherever, bro. I can get down on whatever.
Right. I want to keep it friendly and brotherly, as you know. Yeah. You my brother.
I'm telling you, Houston going to be good. But I'm telling you, the Grizzlies going to be good, bro. Like, watch what I tell you, bro.
Well,
bro,
you said better. You said
going to be better than Houston, yeah.
Whew.
You're not going to be a good team without a point guard, bro. Y'all tell me a team don't have a point guard.
That is the issue for them. And they're going to hope Reed can do it, and I got my doubts.
Right.
I'm going to tell you who else is going to be overrated, bro.
Who?
San Antonio Spurs overrated as hell, bro. Them folks have not been good, bro. Like, why? You ain't just going to be good all of a sudden. Add De'Aaron Fox and get good, and rookies and get good, bro.
But he's got dudes. Doesn't he have dudes, though, with Castle and these guys they've drafted never had in Sacramento? Like, real dudes, man.
Them dudes young, bro. Like, them fools ain't never won nothing. And you're not going bad to good with young players like that. It ain't happening.
Well, I hope you're right.
Man, I love this segment because Houston,
y'all,
San Antonio.
Y'all getting too much of the media hype, man. Them folks ain't never won nothing, bro. De'Aaron Fox ain't never won nothing, bro.
You too much on that climbing gas right now, brother.
Nah,
if we're going to talk about what we too much of.
You don't go from being bad to just being good.
No, I mean.
With all rookies and, like, young dudes. It ain't happening. Look how long it took for Oklahoma City to get good.
But when you say the Grizzlies did that.
Bro, look how long it took for us to do that, though, bro. It was year 3 when we were like, because it's people acting like the Spurs are going to be like top 4 in the West.
I mean, it was 1920 was Josh's rookie year. I don't remember. They made play-in, right? 1920?
Yeah, they made the play-in. No, they didn't make the play-in.
Oh, they did?
Then they made the play-in. They didn't make the playoffs. The second year they made the playoffs through the play-in.
Right, and then they were the 2 seed.
They were the 2 seed the third year?
Yeah, 21-22.
That team ain't built like that, bro.
I mean, I'm just saying, if they have, you know, if Castle is that guy, I mean, they do have the pieces. But generally, no, it does not happen that fast. And obviously, the Grizzlies weren't able to sustain it at that level. So even if you make
and
it, it's hard to sustain.
And to the point I was making earlier, it's the same John Morant, same Jaren Jackson Jr.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all think them dudes are going to be like some bums in the West?
No, but that number 39.5 means something to me. I mean, going down from 40,
crazy.
From what was it?
40? I'm about to go on FanDuel right now, bitch. When they update that,
you should put
today.
The whole everything on it the way you believe in. They're gonna bust the
39,
clock.
Like, we're gonna be a losing team, man. Stop it. If we healthy, bro, we not for be no losing team.
I think that's baked into the doubt, right? Is that the they will not stay healthy?
Man, I'm praying you're right, Sam. I'm not rooting against you.
Yeah, I know
that as a Memphis.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's like when they are healthy, and it's like, will they be healthy?
Let me go on FanDuel. Them folks is high and drunk.
But again, I just looked at it this morning. Said 39.5 to see where it was. It's gone down, man. It at one point we were talking about it before the season this summer at 40 now. John said it went up to 41.5 at one point. I think John said that, but it's down at 39.5 right now.
It's crazy.
I mean, they basically got you as the 10 seed. You know, the 10 right there, 10, 11, right there.
Man,
I know we're better than 5 teams in the West. The others. I don't. You know, even in Dallas, I hope San Antonio, you know, underperforms. I really do.
Yeah.
Hey, saying this, it's
bet
all
on me, man. You bet right.
You know,
me,
you know, 99% of the time in my life, this is the one time I'm gonna tell you, I'm not putting on that Shadoo or Sam.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Fee and fees apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.